When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode of the Warriors Huddle is brought to you by the Athletic Club Oakland, a local sports bar we fucking love. If you listen to this podcast, you enjoy watching sports, and you already know that watching games with other fans just makes that experience better. Look, watching a Warriors game on your own is fine. It's crazy fun. I've done it for years. But watching a game in a spot that lets me scream and cheer and just generally lose my shit with other Dub Nation fans, it's way more fun. COVID stole that from us for a while, and the ACO is giving it back. The Athletic Club Oakland has shut down their entire side street, created an enormous outdoor space called the Town Gardens, and filled that space with tables, more than 15 huge and legitimate TVs, and their full complement of great food, service, and drinks. It's big. It's comfortable. It's a great spot to watch Steph continue to rain threes during this incredible Warriors season, the NFL playoffs, or any other sport with fans while still staying safe. I love this bar. I love their food. I love their space. I love their TVs. I even love that it's basically family friendly. I can go here, get hammered with my friends and get too passionate, or I can roll with my wife and kid and just enjoy brunch while catching a game. The Athletic Club is now our go-to spot to watch all sports, especially the Warriors, and we hope you'll join us there. The Athletic Club Oakland, where sports fans can be sports fans again.
We're going to bring y'all to our huddle.
You are in the Warriors Huddle with me, Bram, with me per usual, my boy and producer, Marcus.
What's up, Dub Nation?
And back with us after a single week hiatus, our master of all things sound, Maxine.
How's it going?
MT, as you can see, and some of the people who actually have access to the video can see, I don't have my mic today. It's my fuck up for sure, 100%. I say that only because I bet you the sound is awful. And to throw that out right after we called him the master of all things sound is kind of scandalous, you know? So I don't know. We at least need to hedge a little bit on this. The master of all things sound when Bram actually brings his mic. Fair to say?
Fair enough. You sound pretty good though. I think it's going to come through all right. So
I appreciate you saying that, but I don't appreciate you destroying the humor at the beginning of the episode. So I don't know. Okay. You are now the master of all things sound, Maxime. And I want you to make that first part sound like shit. And then, you know, reverse engineer it. Boys, no guest. No, normal rules apply here. Bring your A game. I want you to take as many shots at me as possible, be as funny as possible. The success of this episode rests squarely on your shoulders. And let's start where we always do, glass half full. So look back on recent Warriors hoop for me. Give me something you like and don't like to give you boys some time to think, which is actually not true, to make sure that I get these off and you guys don't steal the bullet points I have. I will go first. Here's something I like. So over these last couple of games, and you know, let's hedge it. Warriors aren't out of the woods. There's still a lot of questions. There's still concerns that we all have. But something I like over these last few games is that they started to address some of these concerns, right? We got crazy worried about Jordan Poole and what's happened to his confidence, what happens to his game. Well, we've seen that return in spades. In fact, he's not only scoring the ball creatively, he's suddenly a really effective and creative distributor. So reasons to believe that that problem's selling himself. We've been worried about health. And again, we got to see him come back out and play. But now that situation is starting to be clarified a little bit. Wiseman plays tonight
for Santa Cruz, and Draymond is slated to return next weekend. So, you know, we're getting close to that. And even Wiggins, we've had some concern about Wiggins' aggression, his ability to get to the rim. Well, fuck, it's coming back. You know, he doesn't look necessarily like an all-star right now, but he also has been attacking the rim again. So, you know, there's still some ways to go. But if we've been really worried over the last couple episodes, there's some real reasons for optimism entering this one.
Yeah, no, I agree. My like for it is, it'll seem a little playful, but it's serious, is the fact that Will Ferrell came out as Jackie Moon. And that's why I have my background as that. Obviously, it was just a fun moment. And, you know, we know that Clay has a soft spot for the Flint Tropics and that character from the movie. But what I liked about it and why I genuinely put it as a like is because what it helped us do is get back to having fun. And I think over the course of this, you know, rough stretch, losing streak, and just the grind of the season and the injuries, we lost a little bit of that. So, you know, one of the things that made this team just kind of click on all cylinders was the fact that we were just having fun, that everybody was in their own equivalent, doing Steph shooting a three and turning around before it goes in. So I think he, in a way, brought a little bit of that back. Whether or not that was purposeful, it would be a genius move. If not, it's just, you know, coincidence. But I love the fact that he got the whole mood to lighten up, and it's just like, okay, let's get back to enjoying what we do. And when we enjoy and have fun at what we do, we're a pretty hard team to beat.
Yeah, for those who may not have seen it, Will Ferrell was in a ridiculous good comedy years ago where he played a character, Jackie Moon, a basketball player. And in that last warm-up, he literally came out, Will Ferrell did, dressed up as Jackie Moon and participated with the Warriors. And I guess the connection is Klay Thompson, because Klay has started to wear that headband that looks a lot like Jackie Moon. You know what I liked about it, MT? I liked it, the flexibility that shows from the front office. You know, like right now the Warriors have a lot of angst. There's a weird feel around them. You know, they developed this incredible record in the first half of the season, and now we're watching the big lead that they grew kind of go away. And that could cause panic in a lot of front offices, even really successful front offices. And I can see if somebody came to them and was like, look, Will Ferrell wants to come and kind of have this jokey thing with us, I could see them overreacting the other direction. This is not time to play games. You know, our ship is fucking sinking. This is when we need to take everything serious, not, you know, allow someone else to come in. And Kerr and whoever else was involved in that decision understood, like, no, this can help. There's no need for us to panic. And so, yeah, I like that too. And I like kind of what it reflects about the personalities involved in this thing.
100%. I mean, I think I heard some rumor that Steve Kerr was instrumental in bringing Will Ferrell in. And I think it's the same mentality that has him playing music during the practices. It's that's atmosphere of like, if we have a good time, the team is going to succeed. For me, and again, I'm not trying to downplay it. I'm so excited that Draymond's coming back next week. But I think one of the biggest blessings that this team has had is that we've had the ability to stagger Klay and Draymond coming back into the lineup. I'm not on board with a lot of the fandoms freaking out about Klay. Look, he's like, his percentages aren't that awful, right? He's shooting something like 36% from three. It's not fantastic, but that's not abysmal. He just needs to get his reps in right now. And the fact that Draymond's not on the court gives us an excuse to say, well, yeah, of course we're not playing well. Draymond's not there. Imagine what it would be like if Draymond's trying to facilitate, seeing him get frustrated because he's getting the ball to Klay in a beautiful open look, and Klay's just like biffing it at that point. He's been off the court for 900 days. I mean, what do we expect, right? Like, for me, that we're sort of in the dog days of the season without a Draymond allows Klay to just kind of be Klay, even though it's not the Klay that we expect him to be come playoff time. It's an absolutely perfect scenario.
There's a really weird thing that happens with success. And so this is still new to me, right? I look back on the Warriors fandom, and most of the time has been that they are awful. And what happens when they're awful? When we're in the Cohen years, we were hyperbolic, but hyperbolic towards optimism. You bring in somebody like Anthony Randolph, and all of us are like, oh, Hall of Famer. You know, this is the guy who turns it around, or Mookie Blaylock, or all the other litany of fucking losers they brought in. We were positive it was going to turn shit around. Now that they've had success, it's the other way. one thing happens and we're hyperbolically worried. You know, Clay's off. He's never going to be back again. Draymond gets hurt. This team looks like shit. You know, the hyperbolic optimism right now would be Steph, Clay, and Draymond haven't played 1 minute together. Literally, not 1 minute. We know how successful they can be when they're all together, cohesive and healthy. And if we were not entitled, if we didn't have this sense of we should be winning every single game, one of the things maybe social media would be screaming is just wait till the health comes, you know? And so we're right on the precipice of that. And hopefully all the optimism will come flooding back, but it's a weird deal. Like with success comes this, like, when you have something to lose, it sounds like all you ever do is think about how you could lose it. And I'm not sure why that is. The mentality of this fan base has shifted. I'll give you something I don't like. So I brought my kid to the game a little while back. We got nice enough seats. We're sitting in the lower bowl. She's six. We're both loud. I'm sure that's a shock to hear. And I bought her pom-poms, which were like $1,000, dude. Like, I don't, if I had just cut up $100 bills and made them into pom-poms, it would have been cheaper than the fucking pom-poms I bought at the Warriors store. But, you know, upside downside on pom-poms. The upside is my kid is now 100% engaged. She is a cheerleader at the game. Downside, we're pretty loud. There was a lot of let's go Warriors cheers, a lot of daddy, I see Steph, a lot of standing up and you know, rocking those pom-poms left and right. And the lady sitting in front of us did not like that. And about 2 minutes into the second quarter, she starts firing off comments to nobody in particular about, don't you hate it when people bring kids to the quote, nice seats? Or why aren't people teaching their kids manners? So you know what I don't like, boys? I don't like entitled pieces of shit who think that the money they paid for their seats somehow gives them rights I don't have. We weren't dropping F-bombs, dude. She wasn't like pouring soda in the person's lap. We're chanting, let's go Warriors. So if you don't want to have a Warriors chant thrown out, maybe don't go to a Warriors game, dude. I'm just, it hit me in the wrong place. I almost told her, I'd like you to tune into this podcast on Thursday because I've got some things to say, but didn't and saved it up for now. So that's my don't for these last couple of weeks.
That's a good one. Just one quick note too on your previous point. And there's a stat in every series that Steph, Clay, and Draymond have played in every game, every playoff series, they're undefeated. So if all three of those are healthy and they played an entire series, we've never lost a series. So I think it just speaks to your point of when healthy, you know, we're really tough to beat and, you know, we shouldn't panic. But yeah, I mean, F that lady. You can't really, you're going to a game to cheer. I mean, I think it goes back to the point you brought up a while ago at the beginning of the season, like the fandom changes with success where people go just to enjoy a moment and not really cheer for the team. So it sounds to me like they were that type of fan and rightfully so. You and Kylie are the long-term real fans.
Should have started throwing out, don't you hate when people go to a basketball game and think it's a ballet? Like, settle down, dude. Where do you think you're at? Like, what's happening here? It's not a movie. Like, we are fans. We are, by definition, fanatical. That's what fans is short for. You know, like, everybody, let's just settle down, especially when it comes to six-year-olds not dropping F-bombs. You know, we were – nothing she was saying was inappropriate in any way. Back to Warriors-related stuff. Are there things that you guys don't like that stick out from these last couple of weeks, or is it all optimistic?
I mean, look, you could talk, of course, it's not all optimistic, right? I think I tend to have a glass half full mentality in general with these things. But look, it doesn't matter that we've had one win after a previous five game losing streak. There's a lot that's uncomfortable about watching this team right now. There's a lot of not offensive setup happening, right? There's a lot of just like, well, I'll put it up now with like 10 seconds left on the shot clock. It does not feel like the type of Warriors squad that I enjoy watching play basketball. It's a real slog to get through.
Well, and the other thing I don't like is how competent Phoenix has looked. You know, the one thing I have kind of secretly been counting on is the inevitable Chris Paul injury in the playoffs, that they can't count on that health like they got last year. And it's going to happen this year. I was just waiting for it, just not saying it out loud. Then it happens, right? He gets hurt. But Phoenix doesn't get completely derailed. You know, they look like they're really capitalizing on the success they had last year and have kind of developed a system that can carry on even without one of its main cogs. So, you know, if I don't like something, I don't like how good Phoenix has looked. I know what's coming up in the Golden Questions. We've got some future looking questions. So we'll get a chance to say whether or not we think Golden State will make it to the finals. But yeah, Phoenix has looked pretty competent, and I'm not a big fan of that.
Yeah, I would add on to that, that what I don't like is how there are multiple teams who are ramping up right now and looking stronger and better. Milwaukee is one, Philadelphia, obviously, you know, Phoenix. So as you start to look at the playoff picture and who we would play, should we make it to a Western Conference Finals and ultimately a Finals, those are going to be tough teams, and you need to be peaking at the right time. And we're kind of on a descent where a lot of these other teams are starting to ascend right now.
Well, and we're still kind of figuring out things, which is exactly what you don't want to be happening right now. You know, like rotations aren't completely set. Health is just starting to get cleared up. Right now is when you want to fine tune, not figure out. And there's still some things to figure out, you know, including, for example, who the hell is James Wiseman on this team? What can he give us when we go to the playoffs, and how many minutes will he be capable of playing? But I guess we'll figure it out.
Yeah, there's only so many times Jackie Moon can come to a warm-up.
Well, that's not true. I feel like we could just have him for the rest of these games. I don't know, Will Ferrell seemed to be enjoying himself. Maybe he can just be a full-time member of our warm-up squad.
He's got a lot of responsibility as a player, coach, and owner, so I don't know.
Well, I just also want to point out, I mean, Marcus, you mentioned a lot of those teams in the East, and there's no doubt that the East is feeling pretty wide open. It's also pretty scary, right, that you might get the one or the two seed and end up having to play Brooklyn in the first round with a squad that's back firing on all cylinders for the first time. But that's also true in the West, right? I mean, the Mavs made that deal with Porzingis to get back Spencer Dinwiddie. He's looking great so far. They're currently in the five spot, right? We got to slip. Utah Jazz is three games behind us. That's not a lot, right? And then even still, if you have a 3-6 matchup, that's Denver, with potentially having Jamal Murray coming back into the fold before the postseason. I mean, it's a pretty sketchy landscape. There's no guarantee that just because you're higher in the standings, that means you're a better team going into the playoffs in the Western Conference.
Kawhi Leonard reportedly had a workout recently where he looked like he had, quote unquote, no limitations.
No thanks.
And so if you suddenly find yourself in a first round matchup with the Clips that have, you know, Kawhi the robot and PG back, that's just, it's not that I think the Warriors lose that series, but it's not a series I want in the first round. You know, you don't want to deal with that at all. And you've heard me say this last week, another team I don't want to see in the first is fucking the Lakers. I watched them lose against Houston. I understand their limitations. I know that they're not a team to be afraid of. But I also know that's not an easy series. There's a bunch of weird emotion that's involved in all Laker games, and emotion's not one of the words you want involved in a first round series. You know, you want it easy. You know, I mean, that's what you want to have happen.
And I think we picked the Pelicans too, just real quick. We picked the Pelicans as the ones we'd want to see, but there's some emotion there too. Like Willie Green and Jaren Collins are the coaching staff there. So, you know, there's not a ton there that we'd want to be scared of from a player standpoint, but you know, like one of the worst things you can do is go up against somebody who knows your inner workings and was part of your organization for years.
And if they have nothing to lose. Yeah. I mean, one of the upside, I think they just lost CJ McCollum to health and safety protocols. But I mean, one of the things that we didn't really address when we picked the Pelicans, that requires a one seed. That's not going to happen. You know, the Warriors' best case, I think, right now is holding on to that second seed. They might slip beneath that. So I don't think they're going to be looking at, you know, they're not picking their opponent, right? I mean, and I don't think the Pelicans are going to be one of the possible opponents they can pick. Let me bring you to our golden questions, boys. So this is our mailbag. They are both Warriors related and personal. I've read these. In fact, I culled four of them. I picked these out so I know where we're going. And here's our first quote. The Warriors' future has been on full display over the past few games. Kuminga, Moody, and Poole all look great. And Wiseman should be returning soon. Help predict our future. Starting today, what player on this current roster will play the most years for Golden State going forward, and who will have the most all-star games? So the way I'm interpreting this, boys, erase everything that's happened up until now. Doesn't matter how many years they've been here. We're looking at right now going forward. What member of this current roster will be here the longest, and who will win the most all-star games? MT, why don't you take this one first?
I'm going to go with Kuminga. It's probably not jumping out on a big ledge, but I just think he has the most upside. He the game looks really easy to him. And I think it's, you can quickly forget how young he is and the fact that he only had a year in the G League. So once the game slows down for him, you know, it's, I think the sky's the limit. He's hitting three pointers at a clip that, you know, the shot doesn't look mechanically like it's going to go in, but it keeps going in. So you just got to just be like, okay, I guess it's the way he shoots. So his athleticism, his already instincts on defense. And I think that combination with, like, Moody is a great player, but to me, he falls into that weird category of like a poor man's DeRozan, where he's going to get a helpful amount of points and rebounds and be a good defensive player, but it's not going to be enough to catapult him above the superstars of the league, especially in the Western Conference. Then Wiseman is still coming back. I still need to see, I think we need to see a lot more defensively from him versus just fouling out at about 20 minutes per game. And then Poole is great, but I think his best attribute is going to be if they can figure out a way to keep him as the ultimate Ginobili sixth man.
I think he leaves. I don't know if he'll be here for long enough to be in this conversation, but that, you know, we can figure that at a different time. Watching Kuminga's shot go down is like watching Charles Barkley use his golf swing to hit a 500-foot drive, you know, or like 500-yard drive. Like, it doesn't – you're like, that. There's no way that's going to work. And then it does, and it's consistently worked. So I'm on board for it. So Kuminga's my, I'm imagining him too. There's two questions you gave us, one response. It's for both. You're thinking Kuminga both plays the most amount of years here forward and gets all the All-Star berths, or the most amount of All-Star games?
Yeah. Yep. Same player for both.
So unfortunately, I'm going to agree with you. I wanted to be more creative, right? And so, like, there's got to be someone else here. I looked at Steph. How old is he? You know, maybe we can squeeze in a few more All-Star games for him. But it was actually Steph that led me to say Kuminga. Here's why. Steph Curry is 33 years old. Kuminga is 19 years old. That leaves for 14 years, literally 14 years from today until Kuminga is as old as Steph is right now. So if he stays here, if he just stays here up until the point that Steph has been here, that's 14 years of experience. And how many All-Star bursts given this kid's talent? I mean, three, four, I don't know. I mean, but a significant amount. And then that only brings him current to where Steph is now. So given how young this kid is, given how much I believe in his talent pool, and given how the Warriors are already using words like, well, he's our future. You've heard Clay say it's only a matter of time before we are surrounding him as opposed to the other way around. If all of those things are true and we can keep this guy in the fold, I think it's Kuminga, and I don't think it's in particularly close. I think he is our brightest spot as far as the future is concerned. And fuck, man, I'm fired up for it.
Hell yeah. I agree with you both. I think, you know, that it's also, it's important to think about until the way that we promote people into the All-Star game has changed. You only got one slot for a center in Wiseman to, you know, the two in the wing spot. So it's, you know, it's not something that Wiseman is likely to beat out Kuminga. And I think it's pretty obvious that it would just be between those two. And, you know, we've got a lot more time looking at Kuminga's game than we do at Wiseman's. So I'm feeling a lot more confident in that pick right now.
Yeah, I agree. Keep the mic, Maxime. Here's our second question. Can you give me one reason why Moses Moody shouldn't be given all of Damian Lee's minutes going forward?
Yeah, I've said it before. The one reason is because Moses Moody isn't married to a member of the Curry family. I mean, really, that's about it. And I mean, I don't want to beat that horse, but I do think that the internal politics of the team are more important than we give them credit for, right? There's a reason that Damian Lee is still on the squad in spite of his sort of ineffectual gameplay. He's like the least exciting character on this Warriors squad, as we've discussed before. So, but that's the only reason that I can think of.
Would you care? So like if Damian Lee's my brother-in-law, I mean, you can't touch him. You couldn't ask me about it. It'd be a reflection of my stardom. You know, if I'm Steph and I'm on this team and I would not want you to touch Damian Lee, I wouldn't want there to be a conversation, but I'd want to feel like, you know, how important I am to this franchise. And because of that, you've got to keep Damian Lee here. But I don't think I'd give a shit if he was playing, you know, like as long as D Lee is on the squad in the locker room, getting money to be there, you know, so that I can see him at Thanksgiving and not feel bad about it. If he lost his minutes, it would, like, I don't know, that I wouldn't be as upset with that. I think that they could still give the minutes to Moody. I'll give you another rationale. So let me first say, whoever it is who gave us this question, I agree with you. I think at least now going forward until the playoffs, let's see who the hell Moody is and give him those minutes. If I was going to try to read Kerr's mind, why would I be worried about doing that? Well, at this age, maybe Damian Lee's consistency can be counted on a little bit more. You know what the hell you're going to get from him into the playoffs. But my response to that would be, so do I. Nothing. You're not going to get shit from him. And maybe we could get something from Moody. So let's figure it out. MT, what do you think? Any reasons why you'd keep in Lee as over Moses?
No. I mean, I think the only thing you can look to is the veteran presence, like you were saying. But I don't think that Lee's play warrants that to be the deciding factor. I think you just have to let Moody learn trial by fire. He's got enough talent and he's kind of earned it throughout the season. So there's really no good reason. Maxime brings up an interesting point, but there was a time when Seth Curry, Steph's brother, was going in between teams around the Dallas-Portland time when he was playing for both of those teams. And there were rumors that he was going to get a tryout for the Warriors because he hadn't really stuck anywhere. I think if Steph was ever to pull a card and force the politics to go that way, it would have been for Seth over Damian. So because he didn't do it, I think, Bram, you're right. I think the politics are, as long as he's on a team and people are part of the NBA brotherhood and have a job, then that's enough for Steph and he'll wield his power other places.
Just the unspoken conversation you'd have with somebody, right? I mean, like, fast forward to the off season, let's say Steph and Damian Lee are now in a conversation, whatever it is, you know, a baby shower, who knows, some familial thing. If D Lee has been kicked off the team, the look that they exchange, Damian would be kind of justified in giving him a look that says, what the fuck, man? You know, like, I know who you are on that team. And you know, how did this happen? If he's still on the team and he's not getting minutes, I don't think he can give him any kind of a look, because the return from Steph is, well, that's on you. I gave you a roster spot, dude. What you do with that roster spot is entirely up to you. And if you're not getting minutes, I don't know what to tell you. I don't think this actually fits in here, but I'm going to put it in anyways. You know what I like about Moody recently? I like that fucking black eye. It makes him look like a badass dude. Like, I already really like his game anyways. I think he plays like a veteran as a rookie, which kind of hedges against the whole, we're not sure if we can consistently rely on this kid. But there's something like an added toughness. It looks like he just got into a brawl in a back alley. It's like, I'm on board for it, man. Like, the Warriors are a lot of things. Tough isn't one of the adjectives we've heard thrown around. And that black eye, whether or not Moses Moody is actually tough, makes him look tough. So I am on board for it. Next question. Quote, between the trade deadline, the recent play of Golden State, and the possible full return of Kyrie Irving, a lot of things have changed since the last time you guys provided any predictions. As Bram often says, if you had to bet something significant to you, a mortgage payment, a rent payment, anything, who would you bet are going to be in the conference finals? I'll take this one first. Nothing's really shifted for me. And the fact that this is asking for the conference finals and not the actual finals makes it a little bit easier. So over in the East, I still think it's Milwaukee and I still think it's Brooklyn. And in the West, I still think it's Golden State and I still think it's Phoenix. Memphis has shown heart, but showing that heart in the regular season and showing it in the playoffs is an entirely different thing. I still believe in Golden State's return to health. I don't know if they can beat Phoenix, but luckily this question doesn't ask me to answer that one quite yet. So that's my conference finals. I go with the same four I said a couple months ago. How about you boys?
Go a little different. I mean, obviously seeding makes some of these, you know, impossible depending on where they land, but just assuming you just were picking the best four teams total. In the East, I'm going to go...
I hate you for that caveat and I didn't think of it. F you. It makes me feel like my answer is totally legitimate. And exactly. Maybe you could have stopped me before I gave my answer. Like, oh, wait a minute. Have you considered CD? But no, you had to keep that in the pocket to make me seem stupid.
I texted Matty Stats and said, just go ahead and just don't give him any points for this one.
Yeah, shocking. Maybe you could have texted me, asshole. We're on a call together. You could have just told me.
So I think in the East, it is the two best teams are Milwaukee and Philadelphia. So I think they make the finals. I think they beat out Brooklyn at this point. This is too much going on over there. And then in the West, I agree. I think it's Phoenix and Golden State. And it's a coin toss for who comes out.
I don't know if Marcus has casually mentioned this to you, Maxine, but he used to play at Cal. He was a walk-on. I'm not sure, but like you may want to factor that in as he's giving you these responses, because I mean, it shows a little authority. I just want to throw that out there.
I feel like you were keeping that in pocket for some sort of dig at Marcus, and you're like, well, it hasn't come up yet, so I just like I'll throw it in at this point.
I think that we can probably play a drinking game where every time I bring that up in an episode, people can drink, because I plan on doing it.
I love drinking episodes. Let's do that. No, I totally agree. And I actually, Bram, I mean, not to like rub it in even further, but I was pulling up the Eastern Conference standings at the same time. So I'm not sure that it's a Marcus problem for not texting you. I think it's a you problem for not realizing that's a significant.
That's really nice of you to say. I mean, that's fantastic that the rule of three has turned on me. I wasn't taking any shots at you. I mean, you could have just as easily supported me, but no, dude, here we are.
I support correctness. You know what I'm saying?
The Cal thing. It's the Cal thing. F you, Marcus. Damn it, man.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I did not walk on. I walked on to the Cal jazz program. So yeah, pretty much the same.
Who's in the conference finals, dude? I mean, like, what's your actual answer to this question?
This is not that interesting.
It's like 45 minutes.
I'm on the exact same page with Marcus, right? And I mean, I think, look, there's a lot of reasons for a lot of teams in the East to feel like they have a legitimate shot. I think the Miami Heat, not just because of the one seed right now, they look fantastic and they have a lot of consistency. Jimmy Butler is nice. So is Bam Adebayo. But what James Harden has brought to the 76ers makes it very, very impossible to bet against them. And look, I mean, like, nobody's talking about the Bucks, but that's just because, like, they're kind of boring in their consistent excellence. So the only caveat that I would put there is that Chris Middleton had a pretty lights out playoffs to get them to that finals berth. And I'm not convinced that he could continue to play at an A-plus level to make that really work. And so that could be a shot against him to the point that Miami beats them out. But I'm still thinking that the best two teams in the East right now, like Marcus said, are the Bucks and the Sixers.
I got distracted. I've actually been looking at the Eastern standings. Did you know that this was available online? Man, it would have been so helpful if somebody had mentioned that to me before we jumped down this rabbit hole. Finish out your answer, Maxime, just so that it can take up the entire podcast. Who's on the Western side?
Yeah, Suns Warriors.
Yeah, fantastic. Let's go ahead and edit that portion down to, I don't know, less than 35 minutes if we can, which brings us finally to our last question, and it's our personal one and one I'm excited for. Quote, Ben Simmons is returning to Philly tonight, and according to videos on social media, the fans have already started giving him endless shit. In fact, we have one of those videos now. We can give you a little sense of it.
What's up, man?
Boo!
Philly fan, dude. Look, I believe in heckling people, and we're about to explore that in a second, but come on, man. If you hear us bleeping something, you can imagine what kind of nasty crap fell outside of the stuff we feel comfortable with. But nonetheless, getting back to this question, quote, what's the worst thing you've ever screamed at an opposing player? And is there an unspoken limit in what could be said at a game? So love this question. I was going to turn it into judgment theater, guessing whether or not any of us have ever said something that's remarkably inappropriate. We are running short on time, but let's try it and see how far we can get here. So start with me, boys. Guess, do you think I've ever said something remarkably inappropriate as a fan at a game?
Absolutely. Get a couple beers in you. Come on, man. I feel like you said remarkably inappropriate things to me.
Yeah, on this today. Podcast.
Yeah, today. Okay, well, I mean, this is the easiest one. I mean, everybody gets off their high horse. Yes, of course I have.
I know the one. You told the story before, but...
I might be telling a different story today. Go ahead and cut that reference, Maxine. I used to, the one I'll tell you about today, and in fact, I have told this story on the podcast. You used to be able to sneak down pretty easily. You can get into games for $10, but then sit in where the hell you wanted. I called them the $10 baller seats. I went to a San Antonio game pretty early on in Manu Ginobili's career and snuck down to behind the Spurs bench and then was asked to leave I don't know, 10, 15 minutes after I snuck down there, because I started a one-man balding chant. Balding, balding. I thought the people would join me. They didn't. It was just me. It turns out they can hear you pretty clearly when you're only like 3 or 4 feet behind him. And it was early in his balding. So like in particularly inappropriate, but yes, I have unfortunately been that guy and had to evacuate my seats because of it. Let's go to Maxime. I'm going to guess no. I'm going to say no. I feel like Maxime has thought nasty shit. Like he's come up with things that he thought about saying and came close with the liquid courage, and they would have been clever and they would have been biting. But I also think that his sensibilities prevented him from doing it, that he didn't want to go out on a limb, didn't want to come off as an asshole. So kept it in pocket. I say no. He's never screamed any nasty shit at an opposing player. What do you think,
MT? Yeah, I'm going to go with you. I think he's thought it and come close to saying it, but he's never said it just because he's like, you know what? At the end of the day, I just want this guy to be successful and be all right.
I don't think that ending part. I hope that's not true. If you're like, at the end of the day, I hope these opposing players are successful, that's going to make me hate you a little bit.
I just have, like, look, they've been working really hard. I got a lot of empathy for them. No, the thing is, thank you for thinking that I would come up with great things to say and just wouldn't say them. And that's basically the case, but it's not that it's basically because they're too complicated. You know, I can't, like, I would need like a full minute to yell out what, you know, the like connections that I'm trying to make in my brain. And it turns out that that's not really good for heckling. So
that would be incredible. If there was like some audio of you screaming literally for a full minute, you know, like who knows what story you're telling in the course of a minute. I can tell you that the balding thing, you know, however long it takes to say that word, you want your chance to be like, 3 words or less, dude. If it takes you a minute, I don't think that necessarily applies.
I got to write that down. Yeah. I'll keep that in pocket for the next game.
Make sure you do. You don't have to write it down. Just listen to this podcast. I mean, I think we're recording this, so you can just listen to this.
Oh, we are?
And you'll definitely, I hope so, dude. As the master of all things sound, that's like top 5 things I don't want to hear coming out of your mouth. Wait, we're supposed to be recording this? Which leads us to Marcus. So I can tell you, I've been to a game and Marcus has screamed more than once, I went to Cal! I don't know if you guys knew this, but I know everything about hoop and I'm looking at the Eastern Conference standings right now. So no, dude, he hasn't. No, he has not. That's not who Marcus is. I don't even think he spends his time at the games thinking of nasty things to say. You know, I don't know what's going on in the internal monologue. I know that he is a competitive dude, but I don't think it comes out in ugliness the way that it does with me, or it would for you if you could limit yourself to under a minute of takes. So I say no, and this fits squarely in the MT is a little healthier than I like normally in my friends.
Yep. Crunchy canola, Bay Area healthy.
Nice. Sounds like you agree, Maxine.
I do.
It is true. I've always felt like I do better with trying to not be nasty with it. Like when I would talk trash on the court or to players, opposing people, I would try to be more cerebral, whether or not I was successful. You know, it was up to the.
What's 10 times 25?
Exactly.
What cerebral takes did you have, dude? Like, what are you?
Just, you know, like, what's that?
Plus minus like, is terrible. Like, what the fuck?
Things I think just more like fun. Like there was a recent story about Paul Pierce talking trash to somebody. Like, a new player came in, was talking trash to Paul Pierce, and Paul Pierce's response was, "Can you turn around so I can see the name on your back so I know who I'm talking to?"
Yeah,
because it was like. You know, like, and that's biting, but in a different way, right? So the only time I've ever, like, really talked trash, it wasn't to players, it was to fans, and it was with you, Bram, and it was when Cal beat USC in football, and you and I spent a solid minute straight of yelling at the USC fans because we pulled off that upset, and there were no English words involved. It was just literally speaking in tongues because we were just so excited.
I remember the USC fan coming up. We were sitting in the back row, and there was a guy who was like 10 rows in front of us because we're over in the Cal section. And so there's a lot of USC fans there, but not necessarily in our section. And that guy had to leave with, you know, whatever, 30 seconds left, however much time was left. And it's now clear that they're going to lose. And he had been talking. And I remember thinking, like, this is my chance. Like, whatever it is you're going to tell him, you've got about 30 seconds to communicate it. And like, thought really hard and came up with the perfect thing. And then said things like, lose, 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 hate you. Like, it didn't, it was just sentence fragments that made no sense at all. The other side to that, and I wish this was me, it wasn't, the most effective shit talking I've ever seen happen on a court is in an intramural championship game. And we showed up and there was somebody on the other team who every single time a guy on my team got the ball, the person on the other team said, "He's with us, he's with us." And like, I don't even really know what that means, but like, it was really effective, dude. You know, like by my teammates, like third or fourth missed shot, I kind of started thinking like, dude, is he with them? Like, what's going on? How did they get to him? Like, how did they pay him off? This is hella
cerebral.
Yeah, hella cerebral. It also wasn't you. I'm going to let's make that clear that 100% it wasn't Marcus. Here's our final question. And it's the second part of this one. Do you guys, you know, so like free speech, right? We live in a country that values free speech. We should, but there's limits to it. You cannot scream fire in a crowded theater. Yeah. So is there a limit on this free speech? In your mind, is there something that you cannot get into if you're an opposing fan? So we're not playing anymore. This, you're showing up as a fan, you are participating, you're trying to support your team. Is there a limit on what could be thrown out? And let's at least state the obvious, right? I've heard from more than one beat writer that there's a bunch of racist, nasty shit that's said in some of these arenas. So of course, you know, like that stuff is all, you know, beyond the pale and shouldn't be thrown in. So that's not a part of this limit. In your guys' mind, is there some, I don't know, line that you cannot cross if you're screaming at opposing players?
Well, I've learned one of them is like more than three words. So I wrote that one down.
There you go. Shouldn't be a minute. Okay.
Yeah, right. I mean, I do think part of it is like, you know, if you're trying to bring in people's families in any sort of real way where like names are being thrown out, like that's pretty uncomfortable too. Which reminds me of the Westbrook right. thing, yeah. Which is like, that doesn't count, man. Like the thing is you're bricking shots. That's a pretty good nickname. And actually shout out to Kevin O'Connor on the Ringer for reminding me and probably everybody, because I haven't heard anybody else talk about this. Dude came up with the cupcake thing for Kevin Durant. So what the fuck? Like, get off your high horse.
I think West, I was going to say Westbrook, but that would have been really insensitive. So I won't. I think what Westbrook is talking about is the death threats and everything. He's packaging his message in the wrong way. Mm-hmm. You know, that for him to have drawn the line and be like, you know what's unacceptable? Westbrook. Well, no. I mean, you know, that's actually just name play and isn't nasty at all. But death threats because, you know, the team isn't playing well. Yeah. That might be a little bit unacceptable. And for him to have come public and said, here's what's not allowed. Maybe he should have used the death threats as opposed to the Westbrook thing, but you know, it is what it is.
I mean, here's a good rule, right? When you're talking about death threats is there might be somebody in that lower bowl with a 6-year-old, right? And like, you don't want to be teaching a 6-year-old that like yelling death threats at another human being is acceptable, right? They make a lot of money. We know that, right? That we get to heckle them because we're fans and that's how it works. It's part of why they get paid so much money. But if you're going to teach somebody to grow up and be the type of person that thinks that they're allowed to say these certain things, like, you know, that should be your barometer, right? Is this something that I would be comfortable yelling with a 6-year-old sitting next to me?
You know, I'll shorten that rule. Here's the thing with death threats. Don't make them. No, I mean, you know, any setting, whoever's there, just avoid the death threats. That feels like a pretty safe thing. So I don't have any definitive rules on like what can be said in the arena. I think it is I think it's a sliding spectrum. And I also think it matters the context of the game. The kind of stuff I can get away with maybe with 30 seconds left in game 7 when someone's at the free throw line where I'm trying to distract them versus like the first 2 minutes of a preseason game that nobody gives a shit about, that might shift a little bit, you know? But I like family stuff. I remember when the Morris twins played for Kansas, they played the Bears. And I went to that game at Cal. And on each time one of them went to the line, I screamed out, "Your brother's better," and tried to get a chant going. So then that was family related. And I don't feel like I stepped over a line. So I think you can do some family stuff, you know, but like maybe not talking about their mom. I don't think that there's a definitive set of words that we can rule out with the exception of the racist shit. I think you just got to keep, I don't know, setting and the people around you in mind. That would be the kind of the loose rules that I would throw out there.
So I'd put two rules. One, it can only be about the player and on the court stuff about the sport. So, you know, like it can't be anything that's a personal attack. I think, you know, if you can have fun with the name, like West Brick works because it's about his play, right?
Is that regardless? Like Gilbert Arenas has that gun thing, you know, like when he's like, and I actually went to a game shortly after the whole thing where he and Jarvis Crittenden, or I never know how to say that guy's last name, had the like disagreement involving guns. And I definitely used the word guns in my shit talking. Inappropriate?
Yeah, it leads into my other rule. I think if
I already disagree, then
these if rules you were if you were by yourself, no backup and no weapons in a dark alley, and you saw this person and it was just you and you had to say something, would you say that?
No, that's not the answer. Is no. I can't fight. You've just prevented me from being able to say anything.
Exactly. You can't be, then don't be tough because you have the protection of being in the stands and you don't have that. Like wouldn't say it to somebody else in the street, just because you're in the setting of their professional athlete doesn't give you that protection. It's the same like theory of like being a keyboard warrior, or like a Twitter thug. Like you can't, if you're not willing to say that to their face when you just have to defend yourself, then, you know, you shouldn't have said it.
But I'm not saying something to slap them with a white glove and start up a duel. I'm saying something to distract them and help my team win. You know, so like that's where I disagree with that. It's not if each one of these was an invitation to fight and I didn't want to fight, then I got to be careful not to invite them to fight me. But that's not what's happening. I'm trying to give my team a home field advantage, and I'm trying to use my voice in order to change the other team's confidence. Whether or not they can beat my ass in an alley doesn't change the advantage I'm trying to give my team.
But they're not going to want to beat your ass in the alley if you say your jumper is terrible or you're balding and you look like a girl.
But
like,
I hope,
those two different things, right?
But I want them to be. If they are now thinking about me on that court, even if their thoughts are, I'd like to beat that guy's ass. You know what I just did? Give the Warriors an advantage. You know, if they're no longer thinking about the game plan, they're no longer thinking about what they needed to do to win. They're thinking about the asshole 10 rows up who's screaming balding. Then I've given my team an advantage. I don't agree that it's whether or not I'm willing to fight that stands as my limitation.
I don't know. Like when you, if you fire a player up, right? Like
I'll take that risk.
You know, like Michael Jordan, a fan told him dunk on somebody your own size, and he went back down and dunked on their center.
I watched Oski the Bear throw a cake at Gary Payton's mom, literally, when they played Oregon State. And then Gary had like 1,000 in the second half, you know, like, and that's so, and Ben, I agree with you that like, that is a limit. I gotta make this analysis. If what I'm saying is actually going to motivate this dude as opposed to intimidate him, then I've screwed over my team. I haven't helped them, but that's not a fight, you know, differentiator. It's a, how is this person going to deal with what I'm saying?
All right. That's my rule. You can choose not to follow it, but say what you're going to say in an alley and say what you're going to say in the stadium at the same time.
I think I was clear. It's not that I'm not going to follow it. It's that it's a stupid rule. Maxime, give us the final take here. We got to get out of here. What's the limit?
I said it already. 1 minute, under 60 seconds. We're good.
Okay, well, two stupid rules into the record. We really appreciate you guys. You want to give us a questions for the five golden? You want to let us know we did a good job, bad job? Want to weigh in on what's appropriate to say in an arena? You can shoot us an email. Our address is
huddle@warriorshuddle.com.
We're also on social media. Our only location there is Twitter. That's @WarriorsHuddle. And if you'd like to support us, and this I don't want to rush through, you can do that on Patreon. It means the world to us. In fact, it's what allows us to do this show and spend the time on it that we do. If you would like to become one of our supporters, hop up onto patreon.com, look up Warriors Huddle, and you can help us out for as little as like $1 a month. So it won't take a lot out of you. With that in mind, go Warriors. Hopefully, see you next week.
Good, good.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.